All right, let's do it.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Chasing Millennial. I'm not that
Speaking
other
millennial.
Podcast. Crap.
Wait,
this
you
is
went
why.
From chasing. That's it. Chasing still
oh,
on the
no.
brain.
That's all right. It's all right, Jess.
What's this place called? Okay, we're on Speaking Millennial.
You have too many jobs, Jessica. I think that's the problem.
I know. This is why I got to practice. Okay. And Jay Black is here and Bill Spadia.
So we've got a great special guest, right? Beth Chapman and Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I didn't know Dog lived in Hawaii.
That's why the schedule is so strange.
He's calling all the way from Hawaii.
Which is, if you want to be a bounty hunter, it's a great place to be is an island. It's very difficult to get away if you're on an island. That's if I were a bounty hunter, that's where I'd want to be.
Hey, guys, how are you?
They're harder to find than they are. We're doing great, but just to let you know, in Hawaii, they're harder to find than they are in the mainland.
What's the reason for that?
Family.
They're protected.
Related. You get no information.
So like,
and it is a jungle. You know, you are on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You know, there's a jungle. The terrain is you know, insane. You can get on a boat and you can stay out in the middle of the ocean. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to get away.
I am fascinated by what Hawaii looks like from the perspective of Dog and Beth, because watching the show, it looks like it's endless. You don't get the feeling you're on an island at all. And some of the wilderness you've got to go through to get people.
Yeah.
Where are you in Hawaii? I've been to Hawaii once. I've been to Maui. You guys been to Hawaii?
I've seen Hawaii 5-0 like six times. So that's as close
counts,
as I've gotten.
Jay, that
I've
almost
talked
counts.
About Hawaii 5-0 like six times. Hawaii 5-0.
So
you guys
not...
are missing out. It's one of the greatest places ever to be.
All right, here's the thing. I don't think I was smart enough to vacation in Hawaii. I took the road to Hana, and we never found the seven pools. Is that something you hear often? My wife and I
sounds
were
like a song.
We never. It does sound like a song. It sounds like some strange country song that just ends badly. I seriously never found it, and then I gave up because, like, you go after waterfall, after curve, and I don't know. I never found the seven pools. I thought it was like a tourist there. Scam.
I didn't even know that. What are the seven pools? What are,
I don't know. I never found it. Oh. I have no idea.
So I'm actually very curious about this idea of, like, you know, they protect each other more in Hawaii. Like, you kind of depend on people sort of saying, hey, you went that away. But in Hawaii, they don't do that.
Well, we don't have a crystal ball. So the reason we track a lot of people, like, you know, I'm half Native American. She's Italian. So we're trackers. But you get information from people that have seen the guy last or his mother. In Hawaii, everyone is closed-lipped because a lot of people are related. And they know if, you know, you tell us where they're at, we're going to arrest them. So it's we go to the mainland and we call it like fishing in a bucket. I mean, it's a lot easier than it is in Hawaii.
Right. Do you, just in general, like, do you find your celebrity helps a little bit? Like, you know, it's I wouldn't tell a regular bounty hunter where Uncle Joe is, but I will definitely tell Dog the Bounty Hunter because he's awesome.
Well, the way you find people is to have that person like you more than they do the fugitive.
Right.
So the celebrity part means that in our world, they know us and they know our word is gold. And if we say we're going to help you, we're going to help you. So that's the reason. It's like the cop that, you know, does good things for his neighborhood or his district. Everyone knows him and knows if you tell that cop something, he's going to do you right. So I think that's the difference between us and other bounty hunters.
So it's like it's relationship building more than anything. I am fascinated. And Jay, I don't know if you've seen the show, but like, so when they get the guy,
right,
or the woman, the last scene is they're in the back of their SUV, this monstrous SUV. And they offer every perp a cigarette. And I love that. That was my favorite part of the show. Because it's so not politically correct to do that.
Right. And you also just like to smoke. You just imagine.
And what's
like...
funny is I don't smoke. Well, anymore.
Right.
I did.
This came up at my house the other day because my dad was listening to a podcast. And I apparently said, I don't smoke. And then there was a long pause. And then I was like, cigarettes.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Dog's coming after you.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't see your bounty hunters on the line. That's...
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
No, we're not going to come after in Hawaii or Colorado or any place like that for that. I can guarantee you that.
Wait, is Hawaii legalized?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Oh, nice. Now I got another reason to move to Hawaii.
You can't smoke pot. You got your Wellbutrin. You can't do anything,
I just want to sound cool.
What's that, Beth?
I rub this in Chris Christie's face every chance I get.
You are not fans of the governor. We found some common ground, Beth.
No, I do not like him, and he should not be on the drug policy or nothing. He shouldn't be talking about opiates. He shouldn't be talking about any
of
that.
You were here. You flew all the way from Hawaii. You came to Trenton, New Jersey to lobby against the bail reform that, as you've pointed out and many law enforcement folks have pointed out, has been a colossal mistake. There are all kinds of drug dealers and violent criminals being let out. So you came here to do it. That was before the governor closed the government and closed all the beaches, right?
Yes.
So you saw the pictures of him on the beach. Would you like to just react to the governor on the beach? Did you see the pictures?
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
How do you really feel?
It had to be the rudest. He makes me so sick. Like, it just has to be the rudest thing that he could possibly do to the people who live there, the constituents who voted for him, the people who continue to try to run that city. It was just the most disrespectful, vile thing that he absolutely could have done.
Well,
on our nation's Independence Day.
Well, let me compare it like another Republican we know, President Trump. It's like President Trump, you know, putting out the ban and then going to Iraq and bathing there in the, you know. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It would have been awkward.
Very depressing for the people in New Jersey to know that, you know, the bail bond industry in New Jersey brought millions and millions of dollars in revenue to the state of New Jersey. And, of course, if you cut off someone's arm or leg, they're going to limp. So that's what he did with the bail bond industry. You know, their idea was that poor people were being left in jail, especially minorities, and we proved to them with statistics that that was not so. And
that it's a lie.
No, he wouldn't change his mind. He's a fake Republican.
So where's the passion come from with you guys? How long have you been in this bail bonds business? How do you get started in that?
39 years.
How long?
I've been 39 years, and Beth was the youngest bondsman in the country in when she was 18, she's now 70.
Did you guys meet?
Excuse me.
Uh-oh, I'll let you two sort that out. Did you guys meet on the job?
Yes, he bailed me out of jail.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Jay, you want to run with that? That's pretty good.
Listen, it's tough for me. I'm usually one who makes a lot of jokes on this show, and I don't want to because I feel like I got to make nice with Dog the Bounty Hunter just in case, Bill.
Beth was Senator Sandoval's secretary at 18 years old. It's back when we didn't have cell phones, we had pagers. She was standing in line at a local grocery store. Her pager went off, and she was buying some lemons. She went around everybody to use the payphone, and the guy came up and said, "You're stealing lemons." She goes, "No, I'm not." And the local or the in-house security arrested her, called the police, and the cop said, "Do you have any weapons?" And she's like, "Yes." A knife or a fingernail file? She said, "No, a gun." And the cop goes, "Oh my God, is it loaded?" And she goes, "Well, of course it is." So they booked her for carrying concealed weapon, you know, which was not
misuse of a firearm.
Wow,
a firearm and
illegal ammunition.
So illegal, you never break two laws at once.
Is that the rule?
I went to jail for shoplifting a lemon, and I call this joker up, right, for him to come and get me. This guy sends my bond out on the bus, okay? So not only am I sitting in jail, but I get transferred to the county jail, where I proceed to sit there for another 7 or 8 hours while the bus brings my bond out to the jail.
This is like Dog the Romantic Comedy Hunter. I love this. This is like meet cute.
Her dad was a pro baseball player. And
get out of here.
Her family has money, and she's been spoiled her whole life. So most people sit 7 hours. They were happy about it. But she, like, wouldn't come in to do her paperwork, and I almost had to put her in jail for, for that. And then, of course,
I worked for the minority leader in the Senate. You know, I mean, like, there wasn't any risk in my bond. So, of course, this guy keeps calling me up, telling me, "Get down here to do your paperwork." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be right there as soon as the bus comes. You know what I mean? So, like, he basically had to threaten me to get me into his office to do paperwork because I'm pissed off at this guy. I'm like, who is this guy, dog? You know, like, who does he think he is? He sends my bond out on the bus, and I'm going to sit here for hours, right? Doesn't he know who I am?
But that intrigued you.
So when this happens, I come down to his office. I'm standing in his office, and this guy comes out in these black leather pants and this black leather vest and this long hair with the mullet. And he had a big black Great Dane that walked hip deep with him. And I took one look at that guy, and I said, oh, yes, he will be mine.
Love at first sight.
I didn't stalk him until I got him.
Hey, dog, I have a quick question for you. I've always wondered this about leather pants. End of a hot day, how long does it take to take them off? I would imagine a while.
Leather pants. They were black button fly Levi's.
Oh, okay. That answers my question. Don't wear leather pants.
Unless it's winter.
When you met her dad, dog, because I'm a guy, listen, no one would call me dog the anything. They would call me like, I'm a very nerdy person. I don't know if you can tell from my voice. Whenever I meet a girl's dad, I would always be very nervous. But I imagine you wouldn't be nervous. Like when you were, meeting her father for the first time, like, do you prep yourself? Is it like, yeah, I got this. I handle people all the time.
Oh, yeah. She didn't tell me he was 6'5".
Yeah.
And so when I ran in, he's like, why do they call you dog? And I said, sir, because... my mother was the first Native American Christian, and I always talk about God, and that's God spelled backwards. And he said, you like spaghetti? Yes, sir. So he has since went to heaven, but I loved him, and he loved me. He called me honey. I loved my father-in-law so much. So I married her, really, because of her dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love the honesty, dog. I love the honesty.
I thought it was the boobs.
Oh, well, I'm not being nasty on the radio.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's where you can
Well, technically, it's where the podcast gives us a little more leeway. So, yeah. Jay is likely to get into some uncomfortable topics very soon.
Well, not with dog on the phone, but I think the boobs were implied. I mean, we all kind of knew,
that was understood.
It was understood. We knew.
Hey, what do you guys in all the scenes? Are you armed as you get these perps?
No, I was in jail in the '70s in Texas, so I'm a convicted felon of 40 years ago, and I have shot out of 8,000 arrests that we've done. I shot about 1,000 with non-lethal weapons. You don't need a gun to apprehend someone. With the stuff they got now, you can drop a rhino. So I use all non-lethal.
So what is that sidearm that you're carrying around that's on your hip? It looks like a paintball gun.
Or a pepper ball
gun. That's a double shot taser. And on the opposite side, it's a handgun, which is a... it's a pepper ball gun, but
But you can't fly with that in your luggage, can you?
Yes. Yes.
Pepper ball gun, you need that for a salad.
How do you get a pepper?
That kind of pepper.
Oh.
Denver, Colorado, because of our show, the SWAT all uses pepper ball now. Here's how they describe it. A pepper ball hitting you in the chest is like a Mike Tyson punch. So I don't care about the pepper being inside the little marble. It's minus 7 shots a second. So it's pure automatic. So, and they're down. They're down on the ground. So, it's a lot. It's, you don't have to kill anyone.
We don't need to kill our clients. You know, I mean, these are our clients.
Right.
So we don't want to kill our clients. We just want to bring them back in. And, you know, it really does set us apart from everybody else because we have done this job for a very long time. You know, with, almost 10,000 fugitive apprehensions without ever using a lethal weapon.
Think about that. 10,000. I mean, that's an incredible number. Are you, what's it like walking through the airport? I mean, you guys get recognized. You're so recognizable.
Pandemonium.
I'll bet.
Well, we always say, and the security comes and goes, please, we're at an airport, please don't take pictures. And same as like in Vegas in a casino, they don't want you taking pictures. So, but we have a lot of fans, a lot, and we are usually swarmed. So we have what they call a meter greeter, who we don't have to be the bad guys and say, no, we can't do the picture. They do it for us and say, security has asked not to take pictures inside the airport. But it's like,
you just gave away your whole gig. You just gave away your whole gig.
Here's a question. I would imagine with your celebrity, like a lot of people like turn themselves in by accident. Like you show up and they see you and they're like, oh, you're here for me, I'm sure. You just go like, oh, I guess we got another one. You just grab that guy.
The thing is, no, it's great when we walk into Walmart, like people flee.
Yeah.
Like people start running out of food and stuff. Like that's the funniest stuff ever.
I don't know how he found me.
We were just in a state, I won't say the name of it, but we pulled up to get gas and the guy was putting gas in his van and took off running and left the gas nozzle in the van.
Yeah.
And we went inside and we're like, and the van, he just split. And so we went inside and we were all laughing. They called the police and we waited like 2 minutes. The cops were there. They ran the van and it was hot. He had stolen the van. So when he saw us, he bolted.
Wow. Yeah, that's.
What about being shot at? Back to the weapons. How many times has that happened? It's happened often?
I've been shot twice, like literally, but we've been shot at a few times. They're not like cops. They don't go to the target
shooting range.
They're not well practiced. Range.
Yeah, right.
They're not very dead eye. Right. So far.
Well, you know, the minute that they turn the gun sideways, right? That you're like you're dealing with an amateur at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it looks cool, but it doesn't. It's not effective for shooting.
Yeah. Right. They're just watching movies.
Yeah.
Somehow they got a hold of a gun.
Exactly.
Well, okay. Here's a question. What do movies get wrong? Like if I'm watching a movie about bounty hunting, if I'm watching a TV show about it that isn't your TV show, what's like when you're watching a movie, you go, oh, come on. That does not happen in my job.
Well, we have a lot of regulations now. You know, you have to take standard police officers training courses. You can't this, you can't that, you can't this. So a lot of times they show the bounty hunter pulling over and whooping the guy. You do that, you're going to jail for assault. I mean,
flying on airplanes. Like, that just doesn't happen that way. You do not walk people who are in handcuffs and who are in custody. You just don't walk them through an airport.
So are you saying
you just don't put them on a plane handcuffed like that? You know, like those things are all fake.
So Beth, are you saying my favorite movie of all time, Midnight Run, famous bounty hunter movie, are you saying there was some things that were less than realistic in that movie?
Well, just, you know, mainly the travel. I mean, you know, not the train travel, because obviously you can jump into a rail car, but you cannot go through security with a guy chained together like that, or you know, with handcuffs on.
Such a good
and,
movie.
You know, you can't make them fly. You can't endanger the public. You can't endanger an aircraft like that. You know, there's just small things like that. There are ways to travel with them, but that's not it.
And I would imagine it's rare to find a client as delightfully charming as a young Charles Grodin.
Right.
I mean, I feel like
he's a criminal, but a white collar criminal.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'd be. Well, of course, you become friends with him.
There's not too many that really hate us when it's over. Because we don't just drop them and run. We don't catch and release. We put them in and you know, we give them our website or we give them our emails and we try to stay up with them. You know, they're our clients. And when they go to jail, my little brother once went to jail and he was in a jail that Beth and I brought a client to. And he said, brother, the guy was so famous that you had caught him. They gave him free cigarettes and it wasn't a cop pullover. It was he got hunted down by the dog and Beth.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it actually gives them quite a bit of fame when they hit the jail that they were actually caught by the dog. You know, they didn't get caught by no cop. They got caught by the dog.
Do you keep up with them to sort of see if they turn their life around? Do you have any success stories where like somebody that you caught, you know, said, you know, I'm going to change my life?
I'll tell you one now, Bosco. Bosco just called me and he said, dog, you ruined my life of crime. And I said, why? He said, everybody's asking me. They know me. They asked me, Bosco, you need a job? Are you okay? He goes, I'm working two jobs. He's like, dog, and thank you so much, brother. He's 49 years old. So that right there makes it work. You know, they say, how do you boot a dog? How do you boot a door in, dog? What do you guys think about when you go through? And just before you go in, you know, you think those kind of thoughts. You know,
right.
You also have to, you know, don't. You can't be weak or kind as you're going after them. You immediately have to turn on killer mode when you grab them. But after you get them, you just immediately, we've trained ourselves to immediately come off of that and to start treating them like human beings. There's a couple, Andrew Luster, 87 counts of rape. I wasn't nice to him ever.
Yeah.
Sexual assault on a child, you ain't getting no cigarette.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's some where we draw the line, but assault to a police officer, sorry, buddy. But, you know, a lot of them don't have those charges. So it's mostly like you guys know, so they just make a mistake in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50% of our clients never go back. And, of course, 50 are career criminals. So it's how you're treated. You can make them fight you. You can make them hunt you down. You can make them hate you. But you can also make them love you. So it all depends on how you treat them once you capture them.
How about the emotion when you're engaged? So you've got the guy, you're pulling him in. Is there a difference in the job when the cameras are on? Because it's like watching the show, there's this tense, or I should say intense emotion. And Beth, especially you've reacted to certain people. Like you've walked out of the car, you're like, I'm done. How much of that is you're aware of the cameras, or are the cameras not there and you're just that, it's that emotional?
You don't even notice them. I'm sorry, honey, you want to answer that? Sorry. Are you there, Beth?
Yeah, Beth. She didn't like that question. She's out.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there.
No, you know, listen, there's a lot of cameras, and I don't think a lot of people really fully understood how we shot our show, which, you know, that's good and bad, but we had cameras pretty much everywhere. There were 16 GoPros being used on those shows at any given time.
I love it.
You know, four on the outside of the car, four on the inside of the car, people were wearing them. There were live cameramen. You know, there were so many cameras swirling around that you really never knew which camera was pointed at where or what was covering what.
That's a good point.
You know, until you got into the editing room and start to realize, you know, how you were going to put the show together.
How many editors?
You know, we had five bays running at all times. We had five shows basically being edited all at once. Storylines, you know, before they'd ever leave Hawaii, we would plot out the show. We were going to use this scene, and then they would, you know, give it a couple of weeks. Then I would fly into California and, you know, sit through post, you know, put the rough cuts together. And, you know, generally they were very easy. They're, you know, in chronological order. Basically all we did was shorten things up. You know, if we did a stakeout for 5 hours, obviously we can't show that, so we would shorten that up, you know, time-lapse it a little bit, you know, give a person an idea of how long we sat there. But for the most part, you know, you can't add or subtract. You know, you can't ask a fugitive, hey, we didn't get that shot, could you try again? You know,
so I love that.
Take two.
We can't do again, here's $100. Ready, run.
Yeah. We need some coverage.
Call my lawyer first.
Yeah, nobody was really down for that. So, you know, a lot of people, like, it really used to get me mad because people would always say, oh, that show's not real. And I'd be like, yeah, get in the back seat of my car and I'll show you how real it is.
Yeah, I believe, it came off as incredibly real. I never doubted that it was real. I always wondered just that emotional reaction that you would have to people. Because there were some intense moments. I loved it.
I get mad. Like, you know, he and I have both been, you know, victims of the system.
Yeah.
So we know, you know when you've been bad and when you haven't, okay? I mean, you know when the jig is up. You can either accept it and go on. Oh, sorry, there's an ambulance. You can either accept it and move on, or you can sit there and try to BS somebody, you know? And it's like, at that point, you know, if you want to sit and try to BS me, I'm done with you. You know, if you want to cop to your crap and let us help you, then we want to be there for you and we'll help you out. We'll get you a lawyer. We'll get you back out. We'll put you in a rehab. We'll help you in any way that we can. But if you want to sit and lie and play the game, then play the game inside. And we'll go home and have dinner tonight, and you'll be eating your meal through a square metal door with consisting of something like bologna or something.
You know she's good at her
job.
I do
like bologna, though.
You know she's good at her job because I have not done anything wrong. And as she's talking, I'm like, oh, I hope I don't get in trouble. I feel bad.
I'm not getting away with it.
I got to ask you something because my son on the way in, he was like, who's on the show today? And I said it was Dog the Bounty Hunter. And he said, oh, from South Park. He was so excited. It's his favorite show is South Park. And you are one of the few people that I can actually speak to that have been on an episode of South Park. If it's an offensive question, I apologize. I don't know if it's something that you hated or loved, but have you seen the episode, and is it something that you enjoyed?
we saw it, and Beth, it was, I was like, oh my God, baby, look at you. I felt so,
big boobs.
So excited.
Again, was, see, again with the boobs.
Right.
The boobs and the eyelashes. That was my whole character.
He was thrilled. He loves South Park, and he loves that episode. So you're as it. Big a star as anyone
like
I've ever spoken to.
One of the greatest compliments ever, probably, is to be characterized on South Park. We were also on The Simpsons. You know, I mean, we were on the Georgia Lopez show.
How did
we
I miss the really, Simpsons episode?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was a really hot show.
I've pulled it up on my phone. Hold on, just I'm going to drop out for a minute as I watch this clip.
From South Park?
From South Park.
Is this fair use? Can we do this?
I don't know. Can we do it? I can talk about it. Can I play it? I don't know if I can play it.
No, I don't know.
Read it out.
I don't think I can. It's on Hulu.
Jay, did you get to go to The Simpsons and watch a taping?
That's next week. Yeah. So
exciting.
Yeah. I don't. It's out in California. We're going to see a reading of The Simpsons. So,
no kidding. Yeah, how cool is that going to be?
Cool.
So how does the South Park and Simpsons thing happen? They surprise you? Do they call you like, hey, we'd
Do
like
they
some
give
input?
You a heads up that you're about to get a lot of attention?
The South Park episode was in the works for quite some time, and I know that the holdup, when we first were approached about being on the South Park, it was a Ozzy Osbourne thing. It was a licensing so that they could act bounty from the Dog the Bounty Hunter theme show. You know, so they
right.
had to get Ozzy Osbourne's permission to run the theme song, but if you know the episode well, you know that Cartman basically sings the episode, and then he sort of changes some of the words, you know, because now he's a hallway monitor mm-hmm. and not a dog the bounty hunter. So, you know, they had to do that, and I know it was very, very expensive for South Park to finally get the approval from Ozzy Osbourne to do that. But once that happened, you know, the show was on course and it came out and. It's on the DVD, and it's on their special edition, and they made a special, and, you know, they really made good use of that money, but it was a very, very funny and successful episode.
I'm glad. I was worried bringing it up, because you never know when somebody's been on an episode like that. Yeah, I'm glad that you have a good sense of humor about it. I thought that you would, but you never know if they go, we're hanging up now, because we hated that episode and everything associated with it.
No, it was hilarious.
I'm looking at it right now. They did you justice. They got the hair. You got your chest out. You got all kinds of stuff going on. I love it.
Oh, but you see this? But not his wife though.
I don't. Well, I don't. Well played, Jessica. But it didn't get to Beth yet. I'm still going through it.
When you see Beth, you're going to laugh hysterically because it's when we say boobs, it's beyond boobs. It's just boobs for the entire character's boobs.
So the good news
boobs
is, see
and eyelashes.
Beth and Dog, it takes us typically through most of our half hour to figure out what the title of the podcast is going to be. So thank you, Jay.
Yeah, boobs and eyelashes. Right. We got it. This could be our
boobs,
highest
eyelashes of bounty hunters. I love it. I love it. Hey guys, it was great to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
For having us.
And now, what is the name of your podcast?
It's a Dog and Beth Looking for Trouble.
Dog and Beth Looking for Trouble.
Looking for trouble.
So we will be happy to return the favor. And I know you've got more you'll want to say on your podcast about Governor Christie and No Holds Barred.
Yes,
I do. You want to weigh in on
no
Governor Christie.
Yeah. Ha ha. Weigh in. Get it?
Well, he's only got 40 some days left in his history. Well, as a matter of fact, the rumor is he runs a bunch of rehabs. So his commercial is all about rehabilitation and going to rehab.
Right.
So, you know, of course, most politicians
I got news
take
for
advantage
him.
Of.
Yeah, well, I got news for him. The people in the rehabs are laughing at him.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, there isn't a criminal in New Jersey that isn't laughing at him. He is the laughingstock of the criminal justice world. These criminals think it is hilarious that they are now giving him free bonds, free lawyers.
Yeah.
Free time, no time. Oh, they're in jail because they're poor, poor baby. You know, and the victim just gets left behind in the dust.
The victim became the criminal in Christie's world. Left. Right?
But let me say something good about the legislature in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We were up there and we didn't even ask for a meeting with Christie. You know, it's like trying to catch a tornado with a rope. We knew we wasn't going to. But the legislature treated us so bad, and one of the legislators came to us and said, Dog, we made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
We're going to fix this.
Now, what's so happening with it?
Encouraged us.
What's happening with it? And are they in touch with you about this? And I should have said the criminal becomes the victim. That's what I meant to say. I reversed it. But that's what they've done. They've basically said these criminals are really the victims of the justice system, so we're going to fix it. And as politicians do, they make it worse. What's the next step? Are you guys coming back to Jersey anytime soon?
Yes, we're coming to Jersey very soon.
Yes, and the
sooner than you think, actually.
The Democrats and the Republicans, as a matter of fact, it was a Democrat who told me, "Dog, we made a huge mistake." I was there in the seedy part of town, and I had some of my brothers come up gangbangers and shake my hand and take pictures. One of them pulled out a piece of paper that showed me 2 days before that he had been arrested for home burglary. In New Jersey, they call it first-degree burglary. On the bottom, it said summons. And I said, so what happened? He said, dog, they gave me this and let me go. And I said, well, you better go to court on the 30th here. And he said, dog, they're not serious.
How about that? It's a real problem in this state. It's unbelievable. So you're coming back soon. I'd love to have you back on the radio.
Yes, please. We would love it.
All right. So Chris will be in touch. We'll have you definitely back on. And then we'll coordinate a date over the next couple of weeks that we'll join you and talk some bail, awesome, politics, and Governor Christie.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Dog. Thank you, Beth. It was great great having you guys
on.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks for not yelling at me.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you, aloha. You guys, thank you very much.
Bye.
Aloha. So they were great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What do you think?
Yeah, I like that.
I should clarify one thing because there was one mistake she said. She said Governor Christie runs some rehabs. He's never run in his life. He ambles those.
She liked
rehabs.
Your Christie fat jokes.
Oh, that's
she
I got,
did like
she
it. Gave, we don't
no,
laugh at
she
them.
Didn't. Yeah. She was giving him that like, ha ha.
You think there were eye rolls?
Ha-ha.
No, they were. They
like
were,
a podcast eye roll?
Yeah, the sarcastic laugh.
We were on a bad first date. Like
yes, a little bit, a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, I think that Governor Christie's very fat, and he's like, yeah, thanks.
They Beth. Rolled with the whole boob comments though.
Well, they were bringing up the boobs. I didn't bring up the boobs, but
did they? I'm not so sure.
She brought up the
Jessica,
boobs
who brought
first,
it up first
and often.
Beth did.
Dog did. And Beth
did
was like, no,
it?
Yeah. Dog brought it up, and he was like, no, but I won't say exactly that. And she goes, well, it's just a radio, but please don't. Talk about my.
No, he said when he like I liked that blank about her, and she said, "I thought it was the boobs," and he was like, "I don't want to get bad on the radio."
Oh, so
it was Beth who brought
so
up her boobs.
Beth
knows what she's got. She knows what she's attracting. She knows.
By the what I looked at on YouTube did not have the full clip. It stopped when Dog came out. So I have yet to see Beth.
Let me
on
show
South
you a picture
Park.
Of South Park.
I'm just curious.
Her boobs on South Park. You're going to get a kick out of this.
Yeah. So we, the truth is the podcast names itself.
All right, here we go. I'm bringing this over.
Are you bringing it over? Are you detaching from your.
Dun, 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 dun,
so you have
dun,
no mic. Hold on. Let's.
Going through all the chairs.
So it looks like there's someone upside down.
I actually don't see the eyelashes. All I see is.
I
boobs.
Don't see the. Yeah, they're just boobs.
It actually looks like a butt.
It looks like a butt.
From this.
If you were to have asked.
That's pretty funny.
If you were to have asked 13-year-old Jay to draw the perfect girl, it would have
this
looked
be it?
Exactly
this,
like that.
This
it would have
be
just
like,
been like two
what's
giant
funny
boobs
is,
and no face.
You left me the phone and then walked away.
Yeah, I trust you, Bill.
So you can walk back.
Like,
there.
How long did you think I needed to look at the picture? I think that was really the question that I was trying to. Jessica, I'm going to hand it to you.
I give you this gift.
I give you this gift.
I thought you would want to. I thought you want to swipe through my pictures. You could see what Jay's got going on.
I was
in his life.
Nervous to do that. You know why? Because I think that's a picture you've saved.
Yeah,
that didn't look like you had just pulled that up. I think that's in your photo.
Just ready
album.
To go.
If you go to my photo library, it's 48,000 pictures.
I did not want to swipe.
90% of them, my penis. I would say 90%. Little outfits, little hats.
There's a new name for the podcast.
Our audience knows that, right? Mm-hmm. About the whole penis picture, the whole.
If you go to my Tumblr, you get a chance to see pretty much all of them.
Jessica, we kept it really on the straight and narrow for 40 minutes.
Yeah, until the guests go away, and then Jay's like, blah, 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 blah.
I was holding it all in.
You've been holding it in. This is it. This is, you know what? This is like a moment of porn for Jay.
Yeah, that's
we left the last 3 minutes of this podcast for you to just
get
it all out.
Moments of Zen. I find my Zen on Pornhub. But I tried to be really good because we had Miss New Jersey last week.
Yep.
We have Dog the Bounty Hunter this week.
Which is August 2nd.
Yeah, it's now August 2nd.
I think it's August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Yeah.
It's so hot today.
It's August 2nd. Global warming, Bill.
Oh, stop with you.
We should go to the beach. We should do the podcast on the beach.
I think it's a good idea. We should do a remote podcast. Can we do that?
Wait, hang on. Why don't we just make like wind noises and complain about how we're sweating? And then people, they'll be like, oh, they're
meanwhile,
on the beach.
Meanwhile, when we started this whole thing today, I was sweating because Tony Ann comes into the studio and turns it up to 85.
Yeah.
Did neither of you notice that it was literally 85 degrees in here?
Yeah, I noticed.
I felt like I was just going to pass out and just be unaware of the fact that I was just going to wake up an hour later.
I had to get up because you can't control it here. There are four dials around the studio.
It's like a video game.
Yes, you have to search for it. You get little gold coins.
That's right. I thought you were doing a beer run. So disappointed.
I thought about that, and then I got totally distracted by the heat, and I'm like, I can't go back in there. We got to do something about this. I found all the dials. Is it not comfortable in here now?
Yeah, thank you. It's better.
Right. It's not cold, right? You're not cold.
Good job, Bill.
Thank you.
If I were asking questions of Miss New Jersey, I would say, do you think that a woman should ever be allowed to control a thermostat in a public building? And the answer is no.
The answer is no. I'm with you on that.
What?
I'm with you on that.
Because listen, here's the thing, Jessica. Yeah. Listen to me. This is not sexism.
No, this was it's like 85 degrees in here. It was okay. So hot.
So not sexism. Women have their vascular system is closer to their skin. So they give off heat quicker. So they're colder than we are. So they want it always to be hot. But here's the thing. You can put on a sweater. I can't take my shirt off. So it should be always cooler. It should be always on the cool side.
Jessica has a heater under her desk.
Yeah, because you can heat up. It's easy to heat up. It's impossible to cool down.
Right? Do you still have that?
And it's annoying to walk around with a winter coat in the middle of the summer and you look like an idiot.
But it looks silly.
It was cold this morning.
It was freezing cold this morning. Right. But they keep it at like 65 degrees, not 85 degrees. Like,
so perfect. Jessica shows up after working out and all the brass came in. Today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the big uppity ups.
First of all, it's colder than 65. It's like 62.
Where? In here?
At Chasing in the morning. Yeah, so I came in the morning.
It's perfect.
Delightful. In my gym clothes.
Perfect. Right, and then everyone showed up.
Yeah, so.
You did a quick change. You were all totally together by the time I got there.
Like, excuse me one second, I need to go poop. And you went into the other room and you changed real fast.
And then I took off my hot pink yoga UGG boots and my yoga pants.
You have yoga UGG boots?
What?
Is that a thing? Yoga UGG boots?
No, I had yoga pants and obnoxious colored UGG boots on.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
How could you wear UGG boots in this weather?
It was so cold. It was 62 degrees. Okay.
Now, let me ping you in.
It was so hot this morning. It was humid. I mean, on August 2nd, it was.
Yeah. Jessica, really let me paint you another picture. So you're in UGG boots because it's cold. I walk in. I go, oh, it's so hot. Let me take my shirt off. Because it's the only way I can cool down. Now, which is grosser to see in an office?
Equally inappropriate.
No, it's not equally inappropriate.
Yeah.
You are a little dressed, a little in a way that you shouldn't be. I am a crime.
We had a whole conversation about Jay getting his back waxed before you came. With Miss New Jersey, that poor girl.
This poor kid. We torture her. Between Vinny and you, I don't...
I wasn't. I didn't like
Jessica.
See
you were
pictures.
Very nice to her.
And Bill was like 10 minutes late. It was like, can't
I'm
start yet. And she's. Jay, I'm sure you look good with your shirt off.
No, I didn't say.
Were you looking for permission to take your shirt off? Is that
no.
what that was?
All I said was I was born in the wrong decade. That my body style, 1977. Would have been. It's good look. It's like a Burt Reynolds on the penthouse, you know, or a Playgirl. It's Burt Reynolds. Little weight, lot of hair. People are like, oh, look at that guy, super hot, right?
Right.
Nowadays, it's not like, cool. Look at that guy. He should be killed. That's I've heard women whisper that on the beach. They'd be like, oh, why haven't they killed that poor man? And the only way I come back into fashion is if the Earth gets hit by an asteroid and we go into nuclear winter. Then all the girls are like, ooh, hang out with that guy. He'll survive because look how warm he is. And all these hairless models from Abercrombie and Finch dropping dead. Can't wait. Every day I look at the NASA report going, today's the day. Then it never happens.
I think what's happened with the podcast is we end on a Jay rant.
Yeah.
Are we off the rails? I don't feel like we're off the rails.
We are definitely off the rails. All of a sudden we're talking about like your back hair.
But this is...
We're talking about the ice age and you're surviving their ice age.
And the asteroid that I know secretly you want to blame on Trump.
No,
I know you do. It's his fault.
I blame Trump for the asteroids avoiding us. The asteroids come right up to Earth and they're like, what? Who's president? And then they dodge and they go right into the sun.
Did you realize what Miss New Jersey did? She deflected. She's like, you've got less hairy arms.
Yeah, no, that's what she does.
Is that what she said?
Yeah,
that's nice. She said your arms aren't very hairy. But that, see,
she's nice. She's a genuinely nice person,
which yeah. I'm hoping is not the case. I was talking about this earlier.
You think she's not a nice person?
No, no, no. I think she is, but whenever I meet like genuinely nice people, it makes me feel terrible about myself.
You know who's nice? Dog and Beth.
Yeah, see,
do you agree?
They're pretty cool.
Like, they're bounty hunters. They take people down. They've arrested 10,000 people. I know. I do love that. I think our culture is so PC, it annoys me. So the idea that they're smoking in the back of the car, I think is great.
Yeah,
I quit smoking a long time ago.
I wonder, though, because they seem to have like a hierarchy, like of who got the cigarettes and who didn't. So like cops.
Pedophiles, you're out.
Pedophile, rapist,
done. And people who assault cops?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
I'm right there with them on their categories.
I'd like to see if there are any edge cases where they're driving and they're like, do you think we should do this cigarette?
I'm like, we should have that whole discussion.
I mean, his file, it's kind of on the, I'm not 100%, you know.
Like, do they vote, you think?
Didn't it seem like they had any hard, fast rules about it other than pedophiles, no.
Right, and people who assault cops.
Yep, no. Nope.
And rapists, okay, that was those three.
Question. Bridgegate puts, like, we find out new information, like that Chris Christie was meeting with Russians.
Right.
About the Bridgegate, and he's going to jail. And Dog the Bounty Hunter.
This is a good
gets
one.
Chris Christie in the back of his newly fortified truck, because you can't throw Chris Christie in the back of a regular truck.
Christie joke.
Your suspension is completely destroyed. So there does Chris Christie get a last cigarette from Dog the Bounty Hunter?
I'm thinking yes from Dog and a no vote from Beth. And I think it causes a conflict.
Ooh, you think this could be like...
I think it could be their first one that disrupts their marriage.
Their marriage falls
That's
apart
what I over, think over, this.
Over the Chris Christie cigarette issue. I think he gets one.
Yeah, I think he gets one.
You do.
I mean, Beth was upset with him for the whole, addiction and treatment centers. But other than that, you know, he didn't hurt a cop. He didn't rape a kid.
All right, fair enough. Do you think he'd want a cigarette, or he'd be like, can we just hit the drive-thru?
I think he'd be like,
see what you've done,
Chris
Jay.
And Fat Jokes aren't as funny as Jay's.
I think he would say,
it wasn't funny at all.
can we get a bucket of
it
KFC?
It was funny in my head.
And you just put it in my mouth like a cigarette? Could you just
see?
Put
he took it to the next
KFC?
Level. But to be fair, I set that joke up.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I'm looking for some acknowledgement here, Jessica. Help me out here. I'm drowning over here.
You did a good job, Bill.
Yeah,
Oh boy!
Right, we're gonna end on that.
I don't think your arms are that hairy.
You did a good job distracting Jay from talking about porn for a little bit.
Thank you. I did do that. So why don't we get out before he gets back to it? All right. Thank you for listening to Speaking Millennial. Remember, subscribe, comment, and rate us. I am Bill Spadia. Follow me on Twitter @BillSpadia. Listen to me every morning on New Jersey 101.5, 6 to 10 a.m. Watch Chasing News at night.
Our sponsor. We got to mention our sponsor. Did we mention our sponsor this episode?
Have we mentioned our sponsor once?
We didn't tell.
I don't know.
We didn't tell. Dog and Beth should go to the Stress Factory.
That's what we're going to do.
Next time they come.
Brilliant idea. Let's set that up. Can you talk to Chris? Let's connect them. Yeah. I love that idea.
Take out Vinny and his knife.
So Vinny Brand, who owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, is one of our major sponsors on Speaking Millennial. And you can get tickets at stressfactory.com. Or you can just listen every Wednesday. I've got Jay on, I've got Jessica on, and Vinny's on.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think Dog and Beth would go to the Stress Factory just to relax, because there's no criminals at the Stress Factory. If you're jumping bail, you don't go to the Stress Factory, you go to a lesser comedy club. Stress Factory's for high-class, non-criminal people. That's why you should come to the Stress Factory and watch non-criminal, high-class comedy.
I wonder if our
comedy.
Sponsor would approve of that message.
What? No criminals. No criminal. I mean, he'll take your money, but generally, criminals don't come to laugh. They don't have it in them.
You don't think?
They're broken people, Bill. They're broken, sad people that just want a cigarette in the back
of
the truck.
We're the rails. We're off them.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Well, you got to plug your Twitter.
Yeah, plug your Twitter.
All right. So what happened was before,
you went at Chasing Jess Nutt, and then you went right into Chasing Millennial.
Yeah, by the way, this is Speaking Millennial. Yeah. Great podcast. Everyone should download and subscribe and comment and rate.
And Chasing Millennial sucks. That's a terrible podcast.
A horrible podcast.
I don't know who thought of
that
name. But Chasing Jess Nutt has a great Twitter that you should follow.
I've heard that.
And
at Chasing Jess Nutt is excellent.
Bill Spadia.
And
at Bill Spadia.
Come find my penis pics on my Tumblr page.
Excellent.
Thank you, Jay.
Till next time.
Jay needs a Twitter.